With you today. It's so good to see you. Let's turn over into Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. If you're willing and able, let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God this morning found in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. Good little bit of reading, but if we're going to take time in a service, then I think it's very important that we take time of what the Lord had to say. He said, "And there followed him a great company of people, and of women which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." Well, that all ought to make us think today what the Lord said. For he says, "For behold, the days are coming which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bare and the paps which never gave suck." Talking about hard times. "Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree," he's talking about, "they're going to put me on a cross." Talking about himself, the Lord Jesus, being perfect. He said, what shall be done in the dry? He said, if they're bringing these kind of actions toward the righteous, what shall the day coming that they do? And I think we're living in that day and this hour when we should be very concerned about our children and our grandchildren. You see, my grandchildren will never know the America that I was raised in. Verse 33, "And when they were come to the place that is called Calvary," that's the only time that word is mentioned in your King James Bible. "They come to a place that's called Calvary. There they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do." And that's so true. "They parted his raiment and cast lots. The people stood beholding. The rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, or one of the robbers which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. It was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth till the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the mist. Brother Mike, you pray for us this morning. Oh, Lord, thank you. Amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. I've preached in many texts many times, but every time I deal in this text, I feel that I do it so poorly. Within this text is one of the greatest texts that is in the Bible, and some things that concern me as a pastor is that we all forget what Jesus has done. You see, every song that is to be sung is to point us to the precious Lamb of God. Every man in his sermon, wherever he starts, I like what the old preachers used to teach, always end with Jesus, because He's on every page of our Bible. Young people, Jesus will be a friend at all times. Mom and Daddy, if there's ever been an hour that we need Jesus, it is this day and this hour. I begin to ponder upon the faults of this text. There's many places that you could go and think, but I've got three main thoughts this morning about this text at Calvary. I want you to look at these scenes of Calvary, and I want you to think about these three statements this morning. Within the reading of the text, we'll see there was a straying. There was two malefactors put on the cross. Not only was there a straying, but thank God in this text there was a paying. I'm glad Jesus paid the price for us. A price we could not pay. A lot of people say, well, you know, you can't grow a church preaching those old doctrines. You can't grow a church preaching about the blood. I want to say, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So when we quit preaching about Jesus and the cross and the blood of Calvary and the grace of God handed to sinners, we might as well lock the doors of our church and go home, for it's all about the cross and what Jesus has done for us. There was a straying. There was a paying. But thirdly and lastly this morning, there was a praying. I'm glad that somebody prayed to the Savior. And look in this text, in this scenes of Calvary, verse 32. Notice this straying. The Bible said, and there were two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. Now, isn't that something in this straying? There's two young boys, no doubt. They've grown up to manhood. That's somebody's young'un that's headed to the cross by Jesus. I think a lot of times in church we look at sinners and think, well, you know, we could not do that and we could not be like them. But I want to remind you this morning, well, even though we're saved by the grace of God and the Spirit of God lives in us, we've all got issues. We're robed with this flesh. As the Haney's sang, I'm glad that He is the potter. We are the clay. So we see this straying involved. Now, I want to ask you, I wonder how these two men got on the wrong path in life. I wonder, were they raised around religion? I wonder if they ever did hear anything out of the book of Isaiah or any of the prophets preach. I wonder a lot about their background. These no names in our Bible, they always make me study and think a lot. But I asked you about this straying. I want to say, first of all, notice the souls that were straying. They were just not two individuals that was put on each side of Jesus. They had a soul and they had to meet God and they were responsible for their soul. I want to tell you this morning, we're not numbers. We all have souls. You remember when Paul was on that ship in the book of Acts and he said there was 276 souls in the ship with me. May the church once again get a burden for souls. Is your children saved? Is your young ones saved? Is your friends saved? Is your family saved this morning? Eternity's too long to be wrong. So we see this straying. We see the souls of straying. Look in verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors. And you look up this Bible word malefactor. It simply means this. One guilty of violating the law. One guilty of violating the law. I wonder, in our religious disguise, do we look at people like that and say, well, that's some bad people, but we better look on the inside of us and see what's on inside of us this morning. One that has broken the law. Can I remind you, everybody in this building has broken the law. The Ten Commandments is perfect. There's nothing wrong with the law. It's something wrong with us. That's why the law cannot save us, because nobody can keep the law. We've all had wicked thoughts this week. A lot of us see a speed limit at 55. We want to do 65 because they don't write a ticket over 10 most of the time. Somebody say amen. The law has never been intended to save man, but the law was given to man as a mirror, Paul said, to show us our need of a Savior. I was raised in a religion that taught by works. The book of Galatians chapter 3 says that we cannot work our way to God. We're saved by grace through faith this morning. And we see this straying in this text. We see the souls of straying. But then secondly, we see the sin of straying. They were malefactors. They had broken the law. I thought about Brother Lee every time, Brother Vince, that I look in Isaiah 53. I want to tell you what it says about straying. Hear the old prophet. He was preaching about the Lord going to Calvary. And this is what he said. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now here's the phrase in verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we see the straying of these two men. Not only do we see the soul of straying. Not only do we see the sin of straying. They became malefactors. They broke the law. And you know, I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't tell you today. I know there's a lot of good people here this morning, probably some of the greatest people. I was preaching this week and I said, and I don't just throw this out to be saying something, but I pastor one of the greatest people in one of the greatest churches in this country, and I believe that. It's some of the greatest people here. But let me tell you, everywhere the one that lives the closest, there's nobody here could work their way into heaven. For we were all born sinners out of the bloodline of Adam. You know, you don't have to teach your children to do wrong. You must teach your children to do right. Because we all have that old sin nature in us. And so here, this straying, we see the souls of straying, the sin of straying. But now look lastly at the sentence of straying. Look what the Bible said in verse 32 of Luke 23. They were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. To be put to death. You know, in Romans chapter number 6, verse number 23, talking about this sentence of death. He said, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's one way to heaven this morning. If you took a survey in America, you'd hear all different opinions. Man, Ofrey wrote a book on how to get to heaven of her views. Dr. So-and-so write their version of how you can arrive. But my Bible says there's one way to get there. And that's through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's the soul of straying, the sin of straying that became malefactors. But the sentence of straying it brought forth death. And you always be sure of this. Your sin will find you out. The wages of sin is death. You ever watched Hollywood? You ever noticed how that, boy, they put on a show? The devil will paint you a pretty picture, you know. He'll show you a billboard on the side of the road. Come up, and you see all them pretty Clydesdale horses. And man, you see on the movies of all these people dressed up, and they seem to be enjoying sin. And they are for a season. That enjoyment is just a season. But the end of it brings death. It'll bring death to a church. I can't tell you the number of churches that allowed sin to come in and take over. Push the Bible to the side. The man of God quit standing and preaching. And I can tell you the reason many of them did, because the people wouldn't stand with him. When sin takes a church, the light of God goes out and it brings death. The sin in our life, we can play with sin all we want and think that we're doing better. But we must be cleansed by Calvary's cross. For the wages of sin is death. But oh, aren't you glad there is a gift of God this morning of the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, preacher, I've never been saved. Well, you know what? You're going to die and you're going to meet God. And you better be saved when you meet Him. Matter of fact, did you know that over 50% of the people in America that die, they die with their shoes on? They was never expected to die. How many calls have I got from young people? How many calls in this pastor have I received of those death calls that would come that nobody planned on? But I want you to plan on something. I want you to plan on meeting God and be right to meet Him when you're called out to see Him. There was Australian. Oh, God was so merciful to me and my Australian. And I want to put something on top of that. I'm glad He's still merciful to me and my Australian. Yes, yes, somebody pull out in front of you on the way to church, you shake your fist at them, roll the window down and holler at them. You got a bumper sticker on the back that says, "Follow me to Liberty Baptist Church." There was a straying, but I want to say secondly, thank God, there was a paying. I'm glad He paid a price for me and you. Never get used to Calvary. We see crosses, emblems every place. We have crosses so many times, top of the steeple at the baptistry. People wear them around their neck. Can I say we must never get used to the cross? The cross is very important in our life. There was a straying, but there was a paying. Look in our text in Luke 23. The Bible said in verse number 33, "And when they were come to the place that's called Calvary, there they crucified Him, the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Now notice the Bible is expressive when it says, when they were come to the place that's called Calvary, there they crucified Him. Well, they also crucified the other two strayers, but now the emphasis comes upon Him, upon Jesus. You see, the reason that emphasis is there is because those two men couldn't save us. But this man in the middle could save us. So there was a paying. I want to say when God put His Son on the cross, it put an emphasis of the demonstration of God's love. Isn't that amazing that God loved us, that He gave His only begotten Son? I've studied this text and I've often wondered what amazing love that God gave all He had because He loved. Here in this paying was a demonstration of God's love. In Romans 5 and verse number 8, listen to the Bible this morning. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, I didn't have to get better before He saved me. He got saved. He saved me and I got better. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. You know what that means, reconciled? By the death of His Son, He says that Jesus has brought us to God. He has satisfied what God needed for our salvation. Notice in this text it says, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement. What I just read, let me say this and move on. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement. This building ought not even hold our hallelujahs and glories. The joy that is in Christ. We sing these old songs and I go back to where I was and I get to thinking about where I am now. I'm glad Jesus died for us and showed us the love of God. There was a paying, a demonstration of God's love. But in Hebrews chapter number 9, there was also emphasis on the destruction of sin. Hebrews 9 and 25. The Bible says, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered in the holy place every year with blood of others. For them must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ, watch this, was once offered to bear the sins of many, and of them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You see, in this paean, not only is there a demonstration of God's love, He wanted sinners, He loved sinners, but there's also the destruction of sin. When Jesus paid that price, He paid it one time. Never will they beat Him again. Never will they put a crown of thorns upon His head again. Never will He go to the cross again. Because He paid what it took to get us to God. I sure am glad that not only do we see the demonstration of God's love, but we see the destruction of sin. The sin that had us bound. The sin that had us away from God. He paid the ultimate sacrifice. If we would trust Him, then it would appease God. Thirdly, also to defeat Satan. Boy, Satan had us, didn't he? 1 John 3:8, I sure am glad he don't have me no more. I won't say that again. I sure am glad he don't have me no more. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, that lifestyle. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. Boy, when they put Jesus on the cross, the devil said, Son, we got Him now. No doubt the devil turned around and said, man, all this stuff I've been planning, I've got Him right where I want Him. My friend, when Jesus bowed His head and He said, it is finished. I want to remind you, He didn't say, I'm finished, but it's finished. The sacrifice coming to God. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll forgive them of their sin. The devil said, I know I got Him now. But at that ain't the end of the story. On the third day, there was something went on. Jesus got out of that grave. And He rose up over death, hell, and the grave. I'm glad for the child of God. Heaven is our home this morning. Hey, we got something to thank God for and to shout about. I'm glad He destroyed the bondage of the devil. I am free, free, free indeed. And sometimes when I'm over there and y'all don't want to shout and I stand up and shout, y'all to say, well, the preacher's thinking about what Jesus done for him at Calvary. When I smile and don't want to smile, just say, well, the preacher's smiling because of Calvary. When I sing and don't want to sing, he's just singing because of Calvary. When you eat today and you see the blessings of God, you better be reminded it was Calvary that saved you and given you a home in heaven. Oh, we're blessed people this morning because of Calvary's cross. Thank God for Calvary. There was a straying. There was a paying. You see, there's a demonstration of God's love. There was the destruction of sin and the defeat of Satan. But lastly, there was the deliverance for the sinner. Hebrews 7, verse number 25. The Bible says this, wherefore, watch. It's an amazing text. I'm about done preaching. Wherefore, He, talking about Jesus, is able to save them to the uttermost. Come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests offer up sacrifice, first for His own sins and then for the people's. For this He did once, He offered up Himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated or complete forevermore. Every year that old priest would have to go in, bring the blood and offer the sacrifice for the people. Did you know they had tied bales on his garments and a rope on him? And if he had sinned when he went in the Holy of Holies, if they didn't hear them bales keep a rattling, it's somebody's job when God would kill him, they'd drag him out of that holy place. And year after year after year, he had to go into that place and offer that sacrifice for the sins of the people. But my Bible just said in the reading to you this morning, Jesus died one time. He put all that on Calvary's cross. Now when man looks unto Christ, he can be saved by grace through faith. My Lord, we ought to just leave our cars here and run to the house this morning. We ought to bypass folks down there at the Mexican restaurant. Say, we ain't got time to eat. We're going to shout all evening. Oh, my goodness, what Jesus has done. In this text, there was a straying. There was a paying. But lastly, thank God, there was a praying. Look what He done. One of those malefactors, somebody's boy, somebody's loved one, somebody's family member. The Bible says in verse number 39, and one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He's making fun of him. Isn't that amazing? I've not met many, but I have met some. People on their deathbed make fun of Christ. This man done that. I like what the Bible says, but the other. Oh, I'm glad I'm in that number right there. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. You know what just happened? This man just saw himself guilty. Have you ever seen yourself guilty as being a sinner and needed the Savior? Now watch the praying. The Bible said in He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What's this praying? First of all, never forget this. It was personal. He said. Don't know what his name was. But when the Lord returns, I'd love to meet Him. That thief on the cross, that his heart turned to God. You may be here this morning, and you see what people don't understand. One of the best things that ever happened to this man was he got caught. When he got caught, he seen his sins. This prayer was personal. Verse 42, this prayer was pleading. Look what he said. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest in the kingdom. Did you know that in the day and hour in this modern culture, they've turned Jesus into the beggar? But let me tell you something, we're the beggar. His prayer was personal. His prayer was pleading. He saw himself. Now I'm closing this sermon. Have you ever seen yourself? I'll never forget. You've heard me say this a lot, Brother Elmer Cason. I know Brother Hollis and them know him from that community. He was a well digger. It was Renee's pastor. He came to my house one Saturday. I'd never had a man confront me about Christ. I was raised in religion all my life, Brother Mark. That man walked right into me and looked at me and he said, son, are you saved? And when he left, something happened. I got guilty. Brother Randall, I realized I wasn't ready to meet God. I'd never come to that place where I saw myself in the need of a Savior. Have you ever seen your need of a Savior? His prayer was personal. His prayer was pleading. Verse 43, his prayer was prevailing. Look what happens. And Jesus said unto him, he didn't say to them, did he? But he said to him, the one that prayed out of his heart. Jesus said unto him, verily or surely, I say unto thee. And you can write that on the rooftops. When Jesus says it, he means what he said. I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Miss Jennifer, if you'd come. His prayer was personal. His prayer was pleading. His prayer was prevailing, but his prayer was productive. He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, there's been a lot of false doctrine preached throughout the ages that you've got to do this and do that. And I believe with all my heart, once a person receives Christ, they should follow Christ in believers' baptism. But that water don't wash away your sin. This man couldn't be baptized. I tell you something else. This man couldn't work his way into heaven. His hands was nailed to the cross and his feet was crossed and nailed to the cross. Isn't that amazing? Brother Adam, I was looking last night. They crucified Jesus. They had put their feet across one another to bend their knees and they'd nail their feet. And they would. The Bible said that many would live mainly 6 hours and they would suffocate on the cross. It was a very cruel death. The people of Rome, in that culture, they looked down on people. They thought this could be the cruelest death. And they led Jesus. They mocked him. They beat him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And he got right up between two malefactors, two that had broken the law. And they crucified him. The man in the middle. That man in the middle, he loves you this morning. If it wasn't for the man in the middle, we'd all have no hope in God. But his prayer was productive. Look what Jesus said. Today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. This morning, I have felt the burden in my heart through the week to preach out of this text for this service. You may be here and you've never been saved by the grace of God. You may not understand everything, but the most important thing is this. You've got to understand you're a sinner.
Yes, sir.
And you must have the Savior to go to heaven. I've heard a lot of people say, well, you got to say this and say that. Let me tell you, it's a hard experience. I was sitting where my son-in-law was sitting at Sandy Flat Baptist Church that morning. Brother Elmer Kaysen gave that invitation, Brother David. That's where Jason's sitting. You know what I done? When my foot done this, before it did this, all I said, Lord, save me. And it worked. My whole life changed. I've not always done right, but since that day, I've always wanted to do right. And when I don't do right, God bothers me about it. It's not my conscience. It's the Holy Ghost lives in me. You ever called upon Christ? Be your Savior. He loves you. So isn't that amazing that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? What a truth. What a text. This morning, if you've never been saved, it'd be good morning. You
Amen.
Make your way to the feet of God. Repent of your sin. You know what that simply means? Repentance is turning your back on your sin, turning to God by faith. Trust Him to be your Savior. Miss Jennifer, play. Maybe you're here. You say, well, preacher, I'm here by myself. I don't want to come. Well, let me ask you something. There'd be some people come pray with you if you want to be saved. We've all had to come by the way of the cross. Thank God for the cross. That blood wasn't spilt. You'll hear songs about Him spilling His blood. He didn't spill His blood. He shed His blood for you. For me. God knocking on your heart. The Bible says the Spirit and the bride say, come. And all that come to Him, He would in no wise cast out. Isn't that amazing that He saved that benefactor? Because that's who He is. He's the Savior. He loves you this morning. Anybody need to come? Well, I tarry. I'll pray with you. Come to Christ. He loves you. He'll in no wise cast you out. That's what my Bible teaches. You'd come by faith, just as a little child. Trust Him. Lord, I need you to be my Savior. Would you come? He loves us this morning.